Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Can you not eat when we're trying to do the podcast? And don't burp.
That wasn't me. That was you.
This is over. We're over.
Shall we start? Hello. You are tuned into FM frequency. Be more cleverer.
If we were a frequency, what would we be?
We would be... What, numbers?
Yeah.
Okay. 5, 6, 7, 8, the popular steps hit. That's not a frequency, is it?
No, I believe we could be 5 to 6 to 7 to 8. No, 56 to 78.
Sure, that's what we'll go with. Welcome to Be More Cleverer, the podcast in which myself, Katie, and my friend here, my companion, my other half, not my other half, my counterpart.
Your compadre.
You wish we were my other half.
I do, every night.
Innate.
That's why I do this podcast, to get closer to you.
We learn about things to make ourselves better in conversational situations.
Like that.
Like that.
It's working.
So that we know more things.
A quick update on this. I had to take part in my friend's quiz show the other day. He was pitching a TV show. And
just a normal situation.
Just a normal situation. And yeah. He asked me to help out in the pitch. So I had to be a contestant in a show.
How did you do?
And there was a general knowledge round. Aced it.
Amazing.
Aced it.
Because of this? Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna say
I think
that.
I like to think that even if we don't cover the subject, the podcast makes you more susceptible to learning.
Just general like knowledge aura, you know?
And it'll be really useful for when you're also in a situation where your friend is pitching a TV quiz. Because it happens to all of us on a weekly basis, I reckon. Very normal situation to be in.
Man of the people.
So what happened last time?
I would like you, Katie, to tell me all about the birth of radio.
Stop.
I want to know the first words ever broadcast on the radio.
Okay.
I want to know the first record ever played on the radio.
Okay.
And I want to know, I know Marconi invented the radio. I want to know more about him too.
Okay.
So the birth of radio.
I have a first-class honours degree in radio production. I'm also a radio producer by trade. I should be able to do this. I'm already nervous about it, more so than any other one that we've done.
Yes!
It's going to be great.
Yeah, after I learned about Muhammad Ali, I gave you the topic of radio, because it's dear to both our hearts.
Radio, yes. We both, I mean, full disclosure, we both work in radio. We should know loads about it.
We should. I don't.
No, I don't either. I actually studied it for a degree.
I studied it, so, yeah.
No, I'm not boasting. I'm saying, even though I've studied it and I have a degree in radio production.
But did you notice this? I did it as a module too. We didn't learn anything about the history of it.
No, you don't. You learn basically about film. Okay.
Gonna say a side piece. I learned nothing in my degree, so.
Cool. On that, but that's why we're doing this podcast.
That's why we need to do this podcast.
Sure. So you wanted to know all sorts of things about radio. You wanted to know about the birth of radio.
Yes.
You wanted to know the first words.
The first words ever spoken.
You wanted to know the first record ever played.
Yes.
And you wanted to know about Marconi as well.
Yeah.
Not as in Radcliffe and...
No, not that one.
Off of BBC Radio 6 Music. Mm. About the guy who is widely known to basically have invented radio.
Yeah.
So I started with the birth of radio. It's always good to start with the birth.
It's always good.
start with the birth, the conception.
The Immaculate Conception.
The Immaculate Conception. So, I have stuck to the UK. Is that all right?
Okay, yeah.
Because there's so much, even in the UK, to work out what is actually the truth and what isn't. When you delve into what's been going on around the world, it's also not necessarily relevant. I don't think it's going to come up in my pub quiz, at the lovely pub off of Victoria Park.
And I'm going to be honest, American radio is rubbish.
No, but Australian radio.
Australian radio is good.
Good. But either way, don't care about those.
Boo off. They don't exist.
Boo off, as they say. So, the first radio broadcast was courtesy of the BBC.
Yes, Auntie.
Auntie. What does that stand for, Jackson?
British Broadcasting Corporation, ma'am.
Incorrect. At that time, as a trick question, well, it does stand for that, but at this time, it was the British Broadcasting Company.
It was just a company then, yeah, sure.
Just a company, as you know. And actually, the first known radio broadcast in the world actually was by a station in Detroit.
Oh, wow.
A little fact for you.
Nice, nice.
That's as much as I'm going to delve into for you. In 1920. But in the UK, it was courtesy of the BBC. So the BBC formed in October 1922. And the first public service broadcast was on November the 14th. Write this down, broadcasting fact fans. There you go, there's a pen. November 14th, 1922. And that was broadcast from Marconi House.
Does that still exist?
The building doesn't, but the front face of it is listed. So that's still there. It's on the Strand in London.
I know it!
Do you?
It's a nice bar upstairs.
I think it's a hotel now. Mm. So, yeah. God, you're really testing me there.
Sorry, I
and I
on
knew
the spot.
It. Yeah. Gosh, I'm learning things. Finally. So, Marconi, whilst we're on the subject of him, he was an Italian inventor and engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was all about patenting. He's an inventor. They love to patent.
They do
stuff.
Love to patent.
When I was looking up this guy, it was all about, so he patented this thing and this thing and this thing. I'm going to run by the really important ones for this. I'm sure they were all very important in their own ways. So in 1896, he was granted the world's first patent for a system of wireless telegraphy. Telegraphy? Don't know.
Yeah.
And he succeeded with inventing that once he got the patent. And in July 1897, he formed the Wireless Telegraph and Signal Company Limited. Yes.
When you think about it, how mad that wireless has been a thing forever.
Mm.
And we think of it as like quite high tech.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got Wi-Fi in my ass. Actually, been around forever.
Mm.
Just kind of mad, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, really, why did it take so long?
Yeah, why? Why did it take so long to get broadband?
And in 1900, I'm really going to whiz through this because there's so much to know about it. He took out a patent called patent number 7777 or 7777. And this is the one that he is well known for tuned or syntonic telegraphy.
Mm.
Why do I find that word so hard? And in December 1901, once he'd got this patent, he proved that wireless waves were not affected by the curvature of the Earth. He transmitted the first wireless signals across the Atlantic between Cornwall and Newfoundland.
Wow.
Over 2,000 miles apart.
Oh my gosh.
And this achievement, sending signals across the Atlantic round the Earth is curved. Did you know that? Yeah.
It's actually flat, isn't it? So.
Oh, awkward. And this particular achievement was the crucial day in the invention of radio. After that, he patented a few more things. This is what he did. He transmitted some more signals, managed to transmit more stuff from Cornwall to Cape Cod in Massachusetts.
Nice.
He served in the Italian army for a bit and he continued his tests whilst he was serving in the army. So what you need to know basically about Marconi is that he developed the first apparatus for long distance radio communication. In essence, a radio. Not a transistor radio, which like a portable radio, but a radio.
A radio.
So yeah.
Nice Marconi factage, Katie Bowden.
Thank you very much, Jackson. So the broadcasting though, we've done the technology bit. The broadcasting was from a radio station called 2LO, courtesy of the BBC. And the first words on the radio were by Arthur Burrows, director of programmes for BBC. And he said, "This is 2LO calling." And that was the first radio station to broadcast. It was the second one to regularly broadcast. The first regular one was called 2MT. But 2LO was the first one to put words out there. And they would broadcast for 1 hour a day, 7 days a week.
What, he didn't just say, "This is 2LO calling"?
No, but those are the first words, and that's all you wanted from me.
That
me,
is
right?
All I wanted. Yes. And do you know what? I think I've heard that before. And it's actually really, for me, because I'm an absolute radio anorak and nerd, it gives me goosebumps when I hear that for the first time. It's weird. "Hello, this is London." Not that, but "Hello, this is 2LO calling."
We're on the radio. We're on now.
We're
this
on.
This is happening.
Mad.
And back in that day, to set the scene a little bit, a radio licence cost 10 shillings and only 30,000 were given out. 30,000 licences.
To be a broadcasting station?
No, to listen. You're like to a listen. TV licence. A radio licence cost 10 shillings. And
they only gave out 30,000.
And only 30,000 were available at the time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A few more important dates for you then.
Okay.
So in 1924, the Pips were heard for the first time.
Stop.
And so they marked the precise start of each hour.
Ah, God, I love the Pips. You'll know this as well, Katie. Sorry, allow us to be indulgent. Do you love hearing the Pips?
I do. I love hearing the Pips.
I love... There's beep, a thing that you can do beep, if you work in beep, the radio is there is a button on a fader that you can put them on.
Yeah.
And you can hear them every hour, no matter if you use them or not. And I often have a quick, sneaky listen of them on the hour. And that's
God,
kind of...
you can't be tamed.
I'm sad.
Yeah, I love the Pips as well. In 1939, Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain broadcast to Britain that we were at war with Germany. And this was followed by a broadcast from King George VI.
King's Speech, have you seen it?
No.
It's great. Colin Firth does this in the film The King's Speech.
Oh, is that the speech?
It's the speech.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Evening of the war.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and imagine like finding that about that on the radio. That's a mad thing now, isn't it?
Crazy.
You'd see it on Twitter. You'd get your BBC Breaking News app through, wouldn't you? Seriously, wouldn't you?
You would.
It's mad. In 1955, the BBC began broadcasting in FM.
Yes.
Which I said at the end of last one stood for frequency modulation, and I was correct. And it was less susceptible to weather interference.
Which is why we use it now.
A bit more stable. And we're going to move on to the 60s.
Yes, the swinging
60s. Pirate radio. How much do you know about that?
I know about Radio Caroline.
How much do you know about it?
Say
none, because I can tell you loads about it now.
None?
Yes. So pirate radio became a thing in the 60s. In 1964, Radio Caroline and Radio Atlanta began broadcasting from ships. And so pirate radio came about in the 60s, as I say, and they were broadcast to the UK from offshore ships. And they were totally legal at first. And they were set up because people really wanted to hear pop and rock music. You can't really imagine not being able to hear pop or rock music, but that's when it all kind of began. And the BBC didn't really cater for that. So the first British pirate radio station was Radio Caroline. And by 1967, there were 10 pirate radio stations, and they had between 10 and 15 million listeners.
Wow.
By 1967.
15 million.
And that was by 1967, which is a very important year.
It is.
And it was these pirate stations who had all this music to offer for us. I say us. I wasn't on in the 60s.
I was.
You were. You got there before me. Which prompted the BBC to introduce Radio 1, 2, 3 and 4.
Okay, that's very interesting.
I always had 67 in my head as the year that Radio 1 was on. Not the others.
No, neither did I.
Maybe Radio 1 made more of a big hoo-ha about it than I realised. That's what I thought at first.
Yes, yeah, same here.
And I found out why it is more about Radio 1 on that year than the others.
Oh, interesting.
I can give you more information. But just to wrap up pirate radio, also in 1967, the Marine Broadcasting Offences Act came in. Came into effect, making pirate radio stations illegal. So it was kind of like, pirate radio, stop.
You're taking away the...
And then Radio 1, 2, 3, 4, on.
Okay.
And when I was looking into the pirate radio presenters a little bit, I started having a little look at how Tony Blackburn came to be on Radio 1. Because I thought he was the first voice on Radio 1. Turns out he is. More about that later. So Tony Blackburn was the first voice on Radio 1. And when I was looking into a little bit about his history, how he came to get onto Radio 1, I came across some information about Radio 2. So Radio 2, I always thought that existed before Radio 1. So when it was like 1, 2, 3, 4 were on in 1967, I was a bit confused. I never really knew how Radio 2 could be the older one as well. Because I always felt like Radio 2 was older, but why is it Radio 2 and Radio 1 is Radio 1 if Radio 2 was on first?
Yes.
So an interesting thing about Tony Blackburn's background is he presented on something called the Light Programme. Have you heard of the Light Programme?
I haven't actually.
So the Light Programme was a station for the BBC.
Okay.
Not a show. And it was like light entertainment, a bit of music. Opened in 1945, after the Second World War.
Okay, so like 20 years before.
Yeah. And before the Second World War, the frequency was used for something else. So then after the war, they were like, we're going to make it into this light programme thing.
Wow.
Before it was something called the BBC National Programme, which was merged into another station called the BBC Home Service in 1939, which then became Radio 4.
Yes.
So all these things existed. So Radio 4 was originally the BBC Home Service. The BBC Light Programme then became Radio 2. So these things did exist, but it was a rebranding thing.
So they kind of, they turned it from programme names to numerical stations.
So they did predate Radio 1, but they just had different names.
Interesting.
So there you go. That's mystery solved.
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
UK commercial radio came on in 1973 with LBC and then Capital Radio.
Okay, so they were like the first ones?
Yes.
Interesting.
LBC. Leading Britain's conversation.
Yeah.
Or now it's now London's.
No.
It was London's biggest conversation, and now it's leading Britain's conversation. 1988. What happened in 1988?
Good question.
It's about radio. What radio development happened in 1988?
Not digital radio. That's too early.
Car radio.
No way.
Yes.
Car radio was only in 1988.
Yes.
You're kidding me.
No.
This is going to sound really stupid. Because cars have been on forever. I just automatically thought that when radio became a thing, cars just had them.
Did you think that they were in penny farthings as well, hon?
No, but I mean the Ford Model 1 was like on in the 1900s. I just figured they just attached a radio when they sorted it out.
Mm-mm.
Wow, that's amazing.
No.
That's like barely 30 years ago.
Yeah. And in 1996, it was the birth of the internet radio in the UK.
96. Hey,
20 years ago.
20 years ago.
And Virgin Radio became Europe's first radio station to broadcast online. So let's talk about more recent stuff, shall we?
Yeah.
In 2009, The Digital Britain report recommended that we get rid of FM.
Yeah.
But
premature,
in,
I think.
By 2015, which has now happened.
Yeah.
Like, nearly a year ago.
Wow.
Well, yeah, about a year ago. But in 2013, they said no, we need to delay it a bit more because not enough people have digital radios yet.
Yeah, not enough people at all.
So that's going to happen at some point. And at the moment, 48.2 million adults slash 89% of the adult population listen to the radio.
89%?
Yeah.
That's a good figure.
Yes, well done. Well done, everybody. So I think we've covered pretty much everything apart from the first record you played on the radio.
Yes.
So quickly, I can't find it for sure. It's really hard to find.
Classic, be more clever.
I know. But I have two facts I think you'll like.
Okay.
I can't find the record, but it would have been played by Christopher Stone, who was the first British disc jockey. Got to be careful how you say that. So he approached the BBC with an idea for a record programme. They originally said no.
Wow.
He eventually managed to convince them, though, and started playing records on air. And again, research, I did struggle to find out whether it was in 1924 or 1927. It was somewhere around then, 1924 or 1927.
Okay.
And you'll like this. He wore a dinner jacket and a tie every time he presented. Wow. And listeners loved him. He was kind of more relaxed than the other broadcasters at
that
time.
He didn't have to do RP.
RP, exactly. I think he probably would have been, that's, what is that?
Received.
Received pronunciation. It probably was still very RP, but a bit more chill. So it would have been played by him. Another little tidbit of fact for you, because I couldn't find the exact record, was the first full single to be played on Radio 1.
I know it.
What is it?
Oh my God. Flowers in the Rain.
By?
God, this is the bit I always forget.
The Move.
The Move!
The Move! Some radio nerds, and we respect radio nerdery, as we've probably exhibited in this podcast, some radio nerds would argue and probably get a bit angsty that there were other tracks used as beds, jingles, whatnot.
Come on, shut up.
That was the first full single. So, Jackson, that is radio.
Oh my God, this has been just a joy. Good. Not even my favourite Be More Clever, but just one of my favourite conversations I've had with you.
Yay.
We never really talk, because we both do it, but we don't really talk about it.
We're both ashamed, clearly.
Oh, God, how fun. It literally, I'm psyched. Okay, Katie, what have you got for me then?
Right, so we've been talking all about radio. We now know that we know more about radio than we could possibly ever want to know.
We're true, so, even more than our jobs dictate.
I know. It could be troublesome. And actually, I'm not going to deviate far at all.
Interesting.
From that.
Very interesting.
So, we've spoken all about radio, but there's one area which I haven't really covered.
Okay.
And I did that on purpose, because I knew that I was going to ask you to do this.
Okay.
I would like you to tell me, and I think this is quite pub quizzy, so I think it's important that we do this.
Great.
I want you to tell me all about the Hit Parade, the chart.
Oh, fun!
Yes.
Fun.
Or, I mean, tell me all about it.
The top 40.
So I want you to tell me when it was the Hit Parade, if that was even the name, the chart. So the Hit Parade, if you don't know, is the singles chart, basically.
Yeah.
What you hear on your radios every week.
Big of the pups.
Or you tell me who was the first presenter.
Okay. Oh my God, this is great.
When it was first broadcast. And I just want some really good stats. I want some good records. I mean, records as in like world records, chart records, not like going to play you a great record now.
Lots
Why are we doing
records.
Tony Blackbird voice?
Welcome to the wonderful sounds of the hit new Radio 1.
So, can you take on the challenge?
This could be the greatest challenge I've ever partaken in.
So yours is kind of the sequel to this,
yeah.
I feel.
We've never done a sequel.
No.
I love it.
So there you go. Hit Parade. Hit me.
And I will. Not like that. That's weird.
He probably will. Once the mics are down.
Don't hit me.
You don't know what goes on.
On that creepy note. Bye.
So, if there's something that you think you want to learn loads more about, but you can't be bothered to kind of do the research yourself, that's kind of why we're here. We've decided to kind of put ourselves in that position. Tweet us at Be More Cleverer, or you could email us at bemoreclevera@gmail.com.
Het leukste cadeau voor de decembermaand komt van Apple en KPN. Want de iPad heeft KPN nu voor maar €379. Appeltje KPN dus. Ga snel naar de KPN-winkel en je hebt hem direct in huis. En dat is dan weer appeltje eitje.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.